Now it's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight here on KPFT Houston.
Good morning. Welcome to Storytime on KPFT's Open Journal, and I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek. Today's theme, Stories That Help Heal the Hurting Heart, was inspired by the shooting in Tucson. It was tragedy incarnate, and I can't imagine how the families of the six slain can cope with their unfathomable losses. Somehow, I think stories are being told by loving families and friends. Memories framed in narratives, resurrecting the moments lived passionately by those taken. Stories told and heard have always been ways to help heal hurting hearts from every form of loss. Death, divorce, separation from a child, even loneliness. And to help explore the idea of healing, tales is Rabbi Dan Gordon of Temple Beth Israel of Humble. Dan has toured as a performing artist throughout the United States, Israel, and Australia. And since 1993, he's worked as a teaching artist for the Texas Institute for Arts Education and currently with Young Audiences of Houston, helping students and teachers connect storytelling to academic curriculum. Dan brings unique adaptations of traditional folklore and personal narratives to all ages with his very welcoming style. He's also my friend, and welcome, Rabbi Dan. I'm so glad that you're here. Excuse my throat. Last time I had a throat problem like this, it was a Halloween show, and I pretended to be the Wicked Witch of the West.
Dorothy.
That's about the best I can do, so I'm glad that you're going to be doing a lot of the talking today. Dan, tell us a little bit about this first story you're going to talk to us about. I know that you're going to talk to us a little bit about a concept called Leap of Faith.
Yes, and thanks for inviting me, Hank. So glad to be here. Let me just correct one thing. The synagogue that I'm with is Temple Beth Torah.
What did I say?
Beth Israel.
That's probably because I didn't pay my dues yet.
That's okay. So you're welcome to join at any time. We're a nonprofit, just as KPFT is, so memberships are welcome at any time.
Yeah, that's a great plug.
Very good. When you first asked me to come on and talk about stories of hope and healing the hurting heart, my mind first went to the Holocaust and how difficult times were and what kind of stories could give people a hopeful attitude. And there was one that came to mind. There were a lot of gruesome things that happened during the time with people being forced to do unconscionable things, and sometimes it seemed in the interest of sport. And there was one tale that was told about Nazi soldiers who were forcing Jews to leap over a long ravine, and whoever was able to leap across it would have life, and whoever wasn't would fall into the pit and would be killed. And a horrible thing, and especially with people who didn't have enough to eat, people whose bodies were weak, and they were watching as some of their friends and neighbors were making it across, but many of them were not making it across. There were two men standing together. One was a rabbi, and the other was not, and they said to each other, "Let's hold on to each other as we try and leap over together." And they took a breath and they counted to three and they took the big leap. They closed their eyes and their feet hit ground and they realized they had made it. And they looked at each other almost incredulous that they had made it. And the layperson said to the rabbi, "What do you think did it for you? How did you do it?" And the rabbi said, "Well, I was holding on to tradition. I was holding on to my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather, and I held on to tradition, that's what propelled me through. I held on to it like it was a rope. And my friend, what do you think led you across?" And he looked at the rabbi and he said, "Well, I was holding on to you."
Right. I was ready to that. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, and the simplicity of these folk tales, which is not a folktale. This is really born of truths in many ways. The simplicity is really what makes these stories so staggering. You know, the Holocaust has always been viewed as one of those incredibly long series of atrocities in history that teaches us so very much. And we want to make very sure that we consider those times, because hate hasn't gone away, loss hasn't gone away. We look at that really as a mission statement, as something that we have to constantly hold on to.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And what we can hold on to becomes what we believe in ourselves.
Right.
And mm-hmm. by believing in ourselves, mm-hmm. that it's not a matter of somebody doing it for us, that these two men had to hold on to something.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and sometimes when you think about basic journal entries like the Diary of Anne Frank and so many children, I know I read this wonderful book called Witnesses of the Holocaust, where you had these entries of children who literally wrote about their lives literally moments before they died. And some were Jewish and some were not. Some came from other walks of life, and they were either too young or they were disabled, and they articulated these things on paper. And, you know, I say that because sometimes stories give us an opportunity to do things that we can't do face-to-face. We have these moments that are frozen in time when we tell stories, but sometimes when we write entries, when we write journals, it takes the kind of moments that are frequently frozen in our hearts and minds, so desperate to get out, and we're able to put it on paper. Does that make sense?
Yes. A great teacher of that, who did her stories in song, was one of our leaders who passed away a couple of weeks ago. Debbie Friedman was a composer of music, and she took liturgy and prayer and put them to song. She had, one time when I had seen her in performance, she told a story about Jacob from the Bible, who had been wrestling with an angel. And he had been injured, if you know the biblical story. And the way she put it was that the commentaries say, he limped away and he was healed.
Beautiful.
That the things that injure us make us stronger. Debbie wrote a beautiful healing prayers. And somebody said about her, she had some illness herself, and somebody said about her, when Debbie Friedman got sick, the rest of us learned about healing.
Now, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so a lot of times it's the difficulties that we face ourselves that help us create those stories that may soothe others.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful point, Dan. You know, these stories are stories that we are talking about from the Bible and from liturgy and from folk tales and from our own personal narratives. And everybody out there can learn to tell stories, because all you really have to do is to come to the Storytellers Guild meeting, which we're going to get to in just a moment. But right now you are listening to Storytime on KPFT with storyteller Rabbi Dan Gordon and me. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, and we're talking about stories that heal the hurtful heart. Join the Houston Storytellers Guild at their Story Swaps, held the third Thursday of every month from 6:45 until 8 o'clock. The next one, that would be February 17th. We hold them at what I consider to be the best storytelling venue around, Brazos Bookstore, at 2421 Bissonnette. Come to tell, come to listen, or when I tell, do what other people do, simply ignore me. We can even do that too. You can even ignore. But just come and check out our website at HoustonStorytellers.org. If I could give myself just a tiny little plug, I'm going to be discussing and signing my new book, So What's Your Story? Discovering the Story in You, at Brazos on February 13th at 4 o'clock, and I'm certainly awfully pleased and certainly honored to do that. I have a story that I wanted to share with you, Dan, and everyone out there, and hopefully this will be appealing to you. I saw a former student of mine the other day, and I asked him if I could tell him this story. This is his story, and I asked if I could paraphrase it for our audience today, because this is just a heartrending tale, which I think says a great deal about how we heal hurtful hearts. The student, one who was in my storytelling class, tells a story that he was celebrating in a very bizarre way, the anniversary of his father. I say bizarre because they actually had a party and he didn't want to go, and people were giving presentations about his father, and he was asked to do one as well. And this was the story. He says that he really loves his father. His father was everything to him. He says that he did everything for me and was the most reliable person I ever know. Every day at 5:30, he walks through the front door, my student says. He told me about his day. He always did, because I mattered so much to him. He loved me so very much. He shared everything with me. One night, my mother told me to pack a bag because we had to visit my dad in the hospital. I didn't think much of it. My dad had cancer and was getting treatment every week, so I wasn't really worried. But her voice appeared different. It sounded scared. When I got to the hospital, my grandmother came over to me, hugged me, and was followed by a doctor who told me that my dad was in a coma. He looked at me and asked me what I wanted to do. Me?
I replied, what I wanted to do? Well, it turns out that my father designated me to be the one to pull his life support system if it came to that, and it was in his will. I went into my father's room, and I looked at him, and I knew that he didn't want to live this way. I knew that he could never live this way. But, you know, I became very angry with him, even though he couldn't respond. I was angry with him. I was angry with him because he lied to me for the first time. He wasn't coming back. And I don't know what I did, but I remember I said something to him, even in his comatose state. I hated seeing him that way. So he died by my hand. Everyone in my family and my friends thought I handled his death very well, but they're wrong. I didn't handle it well at all. I still don't. That was the first time in my life that my dad lied to me. I hate him for that. But I also will love him forever. Because every night at 5:30, I sit by the front door, hoping that I can believe him again by seeing him again. Interesting. Right. I remember I was just stunned when I heard that story. I'm not even doing it justice because
but
when
the
he told
fact,
the story,
right.
It was just amazing.
Yes, the fact that he that the reactions from his family and friends, that they thought that he was handling it well and he felt torn up inside,
right.
It's a great evidence that we never know what's inside somebody.
No, we really don't.
But a beautiful piece of that is that he keeps his father alive by seeing him every day at 5:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the anniversary of his death that
yes.
they were celebrating.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how we remember people in the Jewish tradition as well. That we remember them on the anniversary of their passing, in part because by remembering them, we do keep them alive.
Mm-hmm.
By behaving in ways that they would have been proud of, people remain alive to us.
One of my favorite plays, I Never Sang for My Father, by Robert Anderson, at the very end of the play, the main character, Gene, after his father passes, says, death ends a life, but it doesn't end a relationship, which still struggles in the survivor's mind, and that always made an indelible impression on me. Soothing. Let's talk about soothing for a moment, Dan, just in a minute or so. What makes a story so soothing?
Well, I think the idea that we are listening and that everyone can appreciate the idea of being heard and just taking it in. You know, when we hear Garrison Keillor, who came on right before us, that Garrison Keillor makes us feel like we're having a conversation, even though we're not saying anything.
Well, we would have been a hard act to follow. That's why he had to precede us.
Course, right, yeah. But the beautiful poetry of it. But just being able to listen, to conjure up our childhood when our parents read to us, and also the universality of what are our fears, what are our mysteries. As the story that you were telling, I was thinking about the mystery of going to the hospital, seeing your father in a coma, not knowing what he's hearing, thinking, or feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us have confusions about death and what is going to happen to us.
Right.
There's a story that I remember hearing first when I was a teenager, actually, and have heard and told many times, about a man who was fearing death. He was an older man, confused about the mystery of what's going to happen to him after he dies. Is there another world to come? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? And in his later years, he had a dream. And in his dream, he was being given a tour of the afterlife. And the first room he was shown, he walked in, and there is a large banquet hall. And every kind of food you could imagine, and what's more, the aroma. You could smell everything. It really warmed his heart, and he was salivating, and he couldn't wait to dig in. And he said, this has got to be heaven. And the angel that was giving him the tour said, well, no, this is not heaven. This is hell. And he said, how could this be hell? And he looked, and he saw the faces of the people sitting at the table were gaunt, and they were frustrated, and they were not happy. And, hey, you know, how could they not be happy? They've got everything you could possibly want. And the angel said, look at their arms. And as he looked at their arms, he saw that each of their arms was tied with one long fork and one long spoon with unbendable handles. And so they were tied to these utensils and could not bend their elbows to feed themselves. And he said, well, this doesn't look pleasant at all. They had all this food in front of them and they couldn't partake because they couldn't bend their elbows. And he said, show me the other one. They go into another room and he sees the identical banquet hall. The exact same thing. Same aroma, same food. He said, no, I wanted to see heaven. You brought me back to hell. He says, look at these faces. He looked around and he saw faces of people that looked satisfied and happy. He says, ah, they must be able to feed themselves. They must be able to bend their elbows. He looked at their arms, and they had the identical forks and spoons tied to them. They also couldn't bend their elbows. But these were the people who had made it to heaven. Instead of having to bend their elbows to feed themselves, they had learned how to feed each other.
Beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. It's classic. Yeah, it's beautiful. And it's beautiful. And I want to talk about that for just a moment. But right now, let's go to Laura for a quick station break.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. The time is 9:46. Here's a quick look at traffic and weather. There is a two-vehicle accident on the 610 North Loop eastbound at T.C. Jester Boulevard. Two main lanes and one shoulder lane are affected. And there's a stalled vehicle on I-45 North Freeway in the HOV lane southbound before Gulf Bank Road. The current temperature is 56. Skies are partly cloudy with 50% humidity. Today will be mostly sunny and become partly cloudy later on this afternoon with a high of 67 and a low of 47 degrees. After today's community spotlight, please stay tuned for the 420 Drug War News with Dean Becker, followed by Wide Open Spaces with Rourke, and then Radioactive with Rhonda and Phil at 1 o'clock. And now back to Storytime with Dr. Hank Rubicek.
Thank you, Laura. That's a beautiful story. You know, the idea of working together, being a team, helping each other is so fundamental and so basic. Sometimes we are confused about losses and about what we really need to do in order to become less paralyzed about our existence. I was telling you the quick story beforehand about the young man, 45 years old, who has a heart attack and he is near death and he meets God. And he turns to God and says, God, what are you doing? I mean, I'm a young man. I've never been sick a day in my life. I've never bothered anybody. I've never committed any crime. What is going on? And God turns to him and says, you know, you're right. I do this a lot. Now, I do it for my own reasons, and I really can't explain right now. It's pretty complex and confounding, but you know what? You are right, and I'm going to give you another 45 years. You've convinced me. Well, he's ecstatic. Now he decides, now that I have another 45 years, I'm going to really make my life work. I'm going to get a hair transplant. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do a wardrobe overhaul. Well, he comes out of the gym one day, and he's hit by an ambulance, and he's dead. He's up in heaven and he sees God and asks, God, why did you do this? I thought you told me that I had another 45 years. And God said, to tell you the truth, I didn't recognize you. All right, Mary, there you go. Yeah, the same kind of thing. God is so confusing sometimes.
But it's a great point, Hank, about how the other way we comfort each other is through humor. When I tell that heaven and hell story, I'm always tempted to follow it up with another story about a husband and wife who died at the same time, and they're being given a tour of heaven by an angel, and they're shown into a banquet room with wonderful food, mm-hmm. fried chicken and okra and corn and everything, and the man says, well, we can't eat any of that because we have high cholesterol. And the angel says, well, this is heaven. You don't have to worry about cholesterol here. And he turns to his wife in anger, and he says, you and your bran muffins, we could have been here years
right,
ago.
Right, very good. And I'll bet the listening audience probably never thought that they'd be at the laugh stop this morning. You see? They didn't realize that two Henny Youngmans would be sitting here. But you know, but you're right, humor is critical. Mark Twain said it best, show me someone who knows what's funny, and I'll show you someone who knows what isn't. Dan, did you have another story for us about soothing, I believe?
Yeah. The other thing that that your story inspired me about was actually something that I had read in a Chicken Soup for the Soul book, which are the soothing kind of things.
Isn't that where rabbis get their stuff, chicken soup or from
the
soul? Or?
We have lots of sources, and we can't give up all our secrets.
Okay, I'm just checking.
It's mostly by reading between the lines of the Torah, which is another whole story. Mm-hmm. But I was reminded of the teenager who was on a football team, his high school football team, and he was the kind of player who he got in for maybe one play or two plays a game, but didn't really play, and he mostly helped bring the water and helped the other athletes, and the coach would let him in for a couple of plays a game. He was not one of the best players. One week his father passed away, and the coach said to him, "Son, you've got to be home with your mother, and you've got to take this week off. We'll take care of your other duties. Don't worry about coming in." And he said, "No, coach, this week I have got to play. You've got to put me in the starting lineup." And the coach said, "But this is your time for grieving." And he said, "No, coach, I've got to play." And so he puts him in the starting lineup, the opening kickoff. The young man runs back for a touchdown. And he plays like he had never played before. And he is a star of the game. And the coach says to him, "What got into you?" And he said, "Well, this is for my father. You see, you didn't know my father came to every single game. But my father was blind. This week was the first time he could see me play."
Beautiful, beautiful story about actually miracle incarnate and all the kinds of wonderful things that we take for granted.
And how we can keep people alive in our lives.
How we do. We really do keep them alive. I'm going to ask you in just a moment, Dan, about how some spiritual advice, for lack of another label, about handling loss. But first, I just want to let everybody know that I am Hank Rubicek, and I hope that you're enjoying stories that can help heal the hurting heart with storyteller Dan Gordon on KPFT Storytime. What about that? What about some spiritual advice about how to handle loss?
Well, you know, you asked a moment ago about where do rabbis get their stories. And if we're not able to look at every source, then we're very limited. That if we only stick with our own tradition, and there's a beautiful Sufi story about a student who asked a wise sage about the secret to happiness. And the sage said to him, "The secret to happiness is making good decisions." And so the student asked, "Well, how does one learn to make good decisions?" And the sage nodded and said, "From experience." And the student said, "And how does one get experience?" And the sage sighed and said, "From making bad decisions."
Right. Very good. Yeah, from bad decisions. You know, good decision makers don't always make good decisions. Bad decision makers are afraid to make them. Is that fair? I mean, sometimes a bad decision maker thinks that they're not a bad decision maker because they're not making a decision, and as a result, they won't be making a mistake. But you've got to be able to make mistakes.
Well, and one of the things that I think is important for everyone to learn is that there's rarely one right answer to every question. And that if we make a decision that doesn't seem to be the right one, we need to lead ourselves to being able to making the next one that helps put us back on that path.
Dan, when one of your congregants is troubled, do you tell stories sometimes?
Absolutely.
Do you tell stories? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And what I find is that it is soothing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a matter of bringing a universal feeling, because whenever we have a trouble, We feel like we're the only one who has been in this situation.
Right, right. It's a good point. Yeah.
And
stories make them a little more engaging, a little more involving.
And realize
we're not alone.
Exactly. It helps us feel like we're not alone, that people have been suffering this way in many ways and for many years, and our experience is universal.
Makes good sense. I just wanted to sum up a little bit, because I really think that we talked about some excellent points, and Dan, you brought up some terrific insights. We want to make it very clear that when we talk about stories that help hurt the healing heart, or I should say heal the hurting heart, that's what you get when you have too much alliteration, you mix up these words. There is a sense that stories bring a universality to it all. It gives people an opportunity to find those human common denominators that allow them to feel a little bit more cohesive, a little bit more understanding. Is that fair? I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
And I just think that looking to stories, whether we're telling stories, whether we're listening to stories, or whether we're writing stories, it's all pretty critical. I wanted to thank you, Rabbi Dan Gordon, for your storytelling skills, your spiritual guidance, and engaging presence. I'm Dr. Hank Rubicek, and I want to thank all of you for tuning into Storytime on KPFT. In the meantime, tell your story and let it mend the painful heart of family and friends. want you to have a terrific weekend. And let's see. We're going to be back on the end of February, February 25th, and I hope to see you then.
And if you'd like to hear one more story tonight at 7:15 p.m. tonight, Friday night service is at Temple Beth Torah in Humble, 320 Shallow Drive. All are welcome, and we have a wonderful time.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend yourself.
All right.
Thanks
for inviting me.
You have been listening to Open Journal, KPFT's experiment in community-inspired radio.